Welcome to another show of No Timeouts. This is week 13 of the NFL season. We're about a month into NBA season. I've got a packed show. I've got picks with Kyrie and Pope. I've got some Lakers and Eagles talk following that with a special guest, my guy Derek Edwards. So we're just gonna get right into the show.
A two to tie. Michigan would have to bring it.
Oh, he walked. He walked in. The referee missed it.
Weber brings it into the front court. They have no timeouts remaining.
Oh, he causes too many timeouts. That's a technical foul.
He called a timeout. Michigan doesn't
yes.
have any.
He got by with a walk, and Jimmy calls a technical. He calls a timeout. He doesn't realize that's Michigan's too many, and so it'll be a technical foul. North Carolina shooting and the ball.
Week 13 of the NFL season here on the No Timeouts podcast. We took a week off, for some Thanksgiving. Had to get the food in. I was traveling home. I know I'm here with two family men here with their respective wives. I know, Kari, I know you're not married, but soon come, I'm sure. So I'm speaking that into existence for you. How y'all doing, fellas? How was the holiday season? How was life with the in-laws? I'm sure y'all had the whole family deal going on. How was that?
It was cool,
life. Life is good, man. I had to travel up to your neck of the woods. I had to go to upstate New York, though, but one of the kids got sick on the way up. So, yeah, that part sucked. But
that's a real problem.
I'm telling you.
When you say sick, like he was throwing up on the side of the road, like.
You can say that, yeah. We
left
at 3 in the morning. We left at 3 in the morning for what was supposed to be about 5 hour road trip. We got there at about 10 a.m. Lots of stops. Here's the thing: would have turned around and went home, but I was responsible for the turkey, so I was actually bringing up like a custom Cajun turkey that I was marinating and all that stuff for a couple of days. So yeah, I couldn't turn away. So we just had to thug it out, but we made it.
Road trip with three children under the age of like 12 is, God bless your heart.
It's not fun.
Kari, you're seeing your future whenever we talk to Pope about
family. Yeah, really, bro. Like I look forward
no.
to what I'm supposed to
do. Stop after two. That's my only advice. Man-to-man defense is the only way to do child upbringing. Once you got to switch the zone, it's a problem.
Yeah, that sounds rough, bro. That sounds like a 40-yard bomb, bro, every time. Too many. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, how was your holiday, though, Roddy? What you do, man?
Oh, I mean, I just went back home, saw my mom, went back to Maryland. I hadn't been to Maryland since, like, May. So, I was there just catching up with people. My brother hosted. He's also a family man. He's got my niece. Got to catch up with her. See my brothers, see my family, make my rounds, see some friends. It was just it was a very calm time. This year was the first year I was like, man, I might be on the back nine. I might be getting washed because I only had like two plates. I was struggling on that second plate. I'm like, it wasn't cooperating.
Same here. I actually fell asleep right after my first plate, bro. I don't know what happened to me. I used to be able to knock out a couple at least,
That's been the theme. That was the theme. This year, everybody was like, it's something GMO in these turkeys now, man, because everybody had the itis, whether it was good or not.
Nah, facts. I will say I had some great desserts. Shout out to whoever made that bread pudding. I'm going to have to get that recipe.
That's a good one. It was a pretty good football that day, too, as well, though. Wasn't it?
I mean, the Lions game was good, and after that, it went real downhill. And I lost all my bets, so I wouldn't say it was a good day.
Yeah,
you bet against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
I did bet against the Cowboys, and I bet against. I was 0-2, and I wanted to bet on the 49ers, but I was so mad at the first two that I just didn't even bet.
Okay.
Was the one I liked the most, but I psyched myself out earlier in the day. I just was like, I'm just gonna eat some more dessert and call it a day.
Oh man. We actually had a black. I had actually made most of my money not on Thanksgiving, but on the Black Friday game with the Dolphins. So I bet quite a bit on that one, and that was an easy one.
See, I thought that game was starting at 8 o'clock for some reason, and so I look up and it's like already 14-0 or whatever it was, and I lost my opportunity to bet because of course I wanted to bet the Dolphins, and that actually goes right into our picks, this week. And I guess I'll start. with the favorites. Because I'm looking at the Dolphins right now against the Commanders. And the Commanders, they broke my heart. I will say, I don't think that game was as quite as bad as the score. It definitely got out of hand towards the end with the pick six, et cetera, but it was bad nonetheless. And so the Dolphins, a team that's covered and pretty much won by two touchdowns against any team that they played that wasn't 500, under 500. I'm gonna just, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I really wanted to look at the Chargers just because the Patriots look like they are tanking, like they are listening to Pope and just and full on tanking. I don't think I've seen a team tank until now.
Theirs is
This early in the
unintentional,
year.
though. Maybe.
Well, I don't.
I
I
don't
felt like it
know.
was starting to get a little intentional just with how Bill Belichick was handling the whole quarterback situation. But I mean, they both suck, so I guess it doesn't make a difference between Mac Jones and Zappe or whatever. They're a bad team. But nonetheless, I'm gonna just keep, I'm gonna ride with the Dolphins 9.5. I see right now on the road in Washington. I think the Commanders do have some talent, actually. But their coaching is just so bad, and their defense is not that great, especially after they traded their best two pass rushers, or two of their best pass rushers, I should say. Like the amount of time that Dak Prescott had to just sit and throw was crazy. I don't know if I'd ever seen I have seen a team with a worse pass rush. Coincidentally, I guess seeing that it was Thanksgiving, the Lions were probably the only other team that I was looking at. Like, I thought Aiden Hutchinson was like an X factor guy. He, maybe just maybe he is, but the as a unit, they were getting no pressure. So that combination with them not being able to stop the run at a great pace, I'm gonna take the Dolphins. I feel like 9.5 is too low, considering that they've beat pretty much any team that's mediocre or worse by at least two touchdowns this year. So that's my first pick.
That was actually my runner-up. If somebody took the pick that I am taking right now. And you actually mentioned it in your explanation, but I'm going with the Lions. They're in New Orleans. The line is only 3.5. I think the Saints are a very dysfunctional team. They just came off a very ugly loss to the Falcons. That division is pretty much, I mean, it's a really disgusting division, top to bottom. Sorry to offend you, Pope, if you're offended by that. But the Lions are also coming off of an ugly loss. But I think that they'll turn the tides. They want to start stacking these wins. The top of the lower half of the NFC isn't as competitive, but the top half is. Obviously you have the Eagles at the top, but the Lions are competing with the Cowboys. And this is an easy win. This is what they want to add to their record. So the line is 3.5. I think they'll beat them by more than a touchdown at least. I don't really see a world where the Saints can win this game. Derek Carr, I don't. He may be looking at his way out after the season, more than likely. I'm sure they'll figure it out. But yeah, that's what I'm going with.
He just signed a 4-year, $100+ million deal. Like, he's
We'll
not
figure
going
it out.
anywhere. They are stuck
He's terrible.
with him.
He's terrible, bro.
Is there
Like,
a what,
he is bad.
is there a Deshaun Watson swap on the way? I mean, Derek
Bro, they
Carr's
might
getting a shot at it. Like, I don't know who
release
else wants that
straight up,
contract.
bro, and just take the damn money. It's not, he's not the future of the
Yeah,
franchise.
yeah, yeah.
I will
Allegedly.
say the Saints play a lot better at
Obviously, to
home.
clean house.
Yeah, they do play better at home, but is it enough? Like the biggest factor to me is that the Lions are coming off a loss to the Jordan Love Packers for Thanksgiving, so
Right,
I
right.
think, and
I
Jared
think
Goff,
they are who we thought they were.
the Lions. Yeah, I
I
agree.
don't. I
I
don't.
said it the
I
other day.
don't
The
think the
Lions.
Lions are some world beaters. They just have a
Yeah.
good. They have a good record because their division is trash. Their division is actually the worst. But the Panthers are dragging the NFC South down, so I don't have really an argument there. But they just fired Frank Wright, so better days are on the horizon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. The Panthers, they unless they feel they get a new owner, they might have bigger issues than Frank Reich. I mean, he's not a good
Oh,
coach. We make
we
that very
know
clear, but I don't think he was the biggest problem that they had.
Oh yeah, it starts at the top, and his quotes, even coming from that, are even more insane this week. Like, I miss when owners were just rich and shut up, and they weren't involved in spotlight at all. But
Yeah, fair enough.
so that
What's your
goes
pick?
into my lock of this week. They burned me before this season when they started PJ Walker, and we all took who went against the Browns. But I think Myles Garrett is hurt right now, and I am going with the Rams. They're giving them 3.5 points. And right now, as we know, it's looking like Joe Flacco is going to be starting in the game this Sunday. So I am taking the Rams. I don't think Joey Flacco on a week's notice is going to do anything at all with this defense. Jerome Ford's a little dinged up, and so is Myles Garrett. So I'm going to go with the Rams.
I'm not mad at that. Joe Flacco coming out of nowhere. Joe Flacco coming out of nowhere to be a starter again. Like, the state of quarterbacking in the NFL, it's I don't know if it's been this bad, like, this whole, like, damn near millennium. Like, this is bad. Like, I mean we just saw Tim Boyle starting, and he has some of the worst numbers I think I've ever seen. It's just bad. So yeah, I feel
this
that
has been a theme, man. This has been a theme, and like for the last few years, I mean, we saw Sam Ehlinger getting games last year, and Josh Johnson is still signing with teams and playing. Like, and this year got worse. It's insane.
Yeah, I think partly it's just because I think offensive lines are as bad as they've ever been. Also with the fact that I think some of the best pass rushing that I think we've seen, just like from individuals, like between your TJ Watts and Myles Garrett. Like, this is a great era for like elite pass rushers as well. But I mean, gee, it's just a bad combination all around.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of defensive coordinators that studied off of each other's homework, and a lot of them are implementing some of those same schemes that San Fran is doing. Those heavy zone schemes that these quarterbacks that suck just can't really figure out. Like, they just can't read zone coverage nowadays. And add that with some pressures, that's why Pittsburgh is a 7-win team right now. Like, their offense is complete garbage, but nobody can handle the edge pressure, to your point, Rodney. And then just reading zone coverages. It's just the way they're disguising it now, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. All right, but speaking of difficulties, I had difficulties with picking my upset. I did not like really any upset on this slate, to be quite honest with you. I'll say my honorable mention, I looked at the Eagles. Just being an underdog at home at 10-1, seemed a bit insulting, especially as that line climbs. It's up to 3 now. People were loving the 49ers, and I get it. When they have everyone healthy, I don't think they ever lose. Like, between, like, when Kittle, Debo, Ayuk, McCaffrey, when everyone's healthy, it just doesn't happen that often. So I get it, but that's very disrespectful to the Eagles. I also looked at the Jets, even though they have Tim Boyle quarterback. That line was very fishy to me, that despite it all, it was only minus or plus 3. That seemed like Vegas is expecting the Jets to have some sort of bounce back. But I am going to take another home dog. It's a division game, and that is the Tennessee Titans. I'm going to go against the Colts. I think it's just a bad matchup for the Colts in terms of them not being able to stop the run. They've never, ever been able to stop Derrick Henry. Will Levis is good enough. Like, he's fine. He didn't play bad last week. You know, he doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't necessarily make all the plays, but he doesn't turn the ball over. He keeps him in the game. And again, I think it's just a bad matchup. I think the Colts are due to lose to a team that they probably should beat, especially considering Jonathan Taylor will not be playing in this game. I think that's they paid him for a reason, especially when Anthony Richardson not there. He's the best player on the offense. He's the most important player on the offense.
Zach Moss had that chemistry early, though.
I mean, I get it, but he's not Jonathan Taylor. Like, you know, he's if he not, was Jonathan,
that
if he was not,
with Minshew was that was real.
I mean, that's fine, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's a downgrade nonetheless. Like, this offense wasn't great, you know what I mean? But they're and it's downgrading. So, and the defense hasn't really been good all year, in my opinion, against even a decent team. I mean, they gave up. We're just talking about the Saints. They gave up 38 points to the Saints. They gave up 39 points to the Browns like a few weeks ago. So I don't trust the defense, and again, I just think this is a team that is due to lose to a team that they should probably beat, especially on the road. So I think that Mike Vrabel is going to have he's got some Mike Tomlin in him where he gets the most out of his talent, even though right now they have very minimal talent. But yeah, this matchup, I'm expecting the Titans to pull out a very low scoring game.
I really wanted to go with the bulletin board material because Debo talked so much crap all offseason about Philly. So there's a lot of bulletin board material that Philly's taking into that game. But my upset of the week is actually going to go against Kyrie's lock. I'm taking the Saints at home against the Lions to upset. The Saints have been Jekyll and Hyde all season. So they come out and look like garbage one week and then stomp somebody the next week. It's been on and off, but I think once they clear up those red zone woes that they've been having, I think they're actually a competent team. And Detroit is just, I don't know, there's something about them, man. Like, I want to believe in the Cinderella story and Dan Campbell's the man and, you know, he bites off tops of cans with his own mouth. Like, I want to believe all that stuff. But I just, for whatever reason this week, I got the Saints, man. I think they'll take it.
I feel that. I mean, it honestly is a game that could go either way. They're both very inconsistent teams. I think even though, you know, you look at Detroit's record, you look at their games, they're a pretty inconsistent team. Like you said, I don't really think that they're the world beaters that the media and everyone seems to think they are. Especially, you know, since I'm a Ravens fan, I saw what they look like against us. I don't see it personally. But anyway, my upset for the week, I am going to go with the Broncos beating the Texans at home. The Broncos have been, like, maybe the hottest team of the second half of the season so far. And they kind of need this win to make the playoffs. I think their defense has stepped it up a lot. They've been really good at, like, generating pressure on quarterbacks a lot better than they have in the first half of the season. I think that's been the biggest factor. I think Russ has been a bit more consistent. You know, he's finding some type of chemistry with these receivers, even if he's not airing it out, you know, like the Russ of old, he's still finding ways to play efficient football. I think the Broncos will continue to streak. You know, I like the Texans. I like their story as well. I like C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans. But, yeah, I got the Broncos this week. It's their only favorite to lose by three. So, you know, it could go either way. But I'm feeling pretty good with it.
I definitely love that one as well. Yeah.
I love that pick. Yeah. I mean, it's the young team that's inconsistent due for a loss and pissed off Russell Wilson. Like, he – like, his eyes are glazed over, man. He's not even looking at his teammates in the face. He's just next play, next play. He's just, like, pissed off Russell Wilson is actually been fun to watch these last, like, 5 weeks. It's hilarious.
It's interesting, actually. You know, I wasn't ready to call him washed yet, but I kind of was. So I'm glad to see that that isn't true. So.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely worse out there on the quarterback market. I would say Russ isn't great by any means, and he's getting bailed out. And a lot of these just like, I'm just going to throw it up, and Sutton is over there somewhere. But
yeah, it'll be an interesting week, though.
And that boy's fleet.
Yeah, I definitely looked at Denver as an option as well. Definitely did. I think there's a couple. There's always going to be an upset regardless. But I felt like this week was hard to pick. I don't know why.
Obviously, it was a pretty difficult week. I agree.
Yeah, I also think since we, you know, we are taping this on Thursday, I think by the time this comes out, the game will already have happened. But I did look long and hard at the Cowboys too against the Seahawks.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. That's another team though. Like, I just don't have a lot of confidence in the Seahawks. I said they're the Lions adjacent to me. Like, I kind of feel the same way with them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just out on betting on the Thursday games, really, other than, like, maybe the under. But, yeah, that's about all. That's about all I got for it, for any Thursday game.
Yeah. They've been disgusting games at that. So even if the bets aren't hitting, they're just nasty to watch in general.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be obligated to watch any of it.
Yeah.
This is
some of the Cowboys. Do you feel confident in this Darius Leonard, Shaq Leonard signing that he may be in Dallas on tonight, getting ready to sign that contract if they win?
I don't make anything. I make nothing of it.
Look, I know.
I literally make absolutely nothing of it. He stinks. I'm sorry to say. You know, it pains me to say. I don't take any pleasure in saying that, but he just can't move anymore. His hips are all stiff. It's, you know, it, this is like when the Spurs signed Tracy McGrady. Like, it's over.
Oh man. I actually love that whenever there's anything that any Wash player performs, the Tracy McGrady in the Spurs jersey is the number one picture that always happens on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, that one, I mean, you know, you got the Shaq in the Celtics jersey, Patrick Ewing in the Orlando Magic. There's a couple of classics. Right now,
Hakeem on the Raptors.
Julio Jones in the Eagles jersey right now is up there for me, too.
Did y'all see when they called a screen for him on 3rd and 15? That was crazy. I don't know.
I guess they wanted to give him a bone, I guess. But yeah, no, he must have a lot of friends. There's no reason he should be on an NFL roster. Darius Leonard, I think that's the equivalent of Julio Jones signing to the Eagles. To answer your question.
Yeah, I get it. He said the rumor was he wants to go to, you know, whatever team has a better chance to win to make noise in the playoffs. And it was between Dallas, Buffalo, and Philly. And I've been trying to temper my Philly friends' expectations because they're like, as soon as we get on the Super Bowl, and I'm like, I think he's pretty washed, bro. Like, the Colts wouldn't just release an all-pro linebacker in the middle of a season that they actually have hope in if he was anything, you know, contributing to them winning.
They're in the hunt for the playoffs right now. Like, they're, you know, despite having Gardner Minshew, like, they're in the hunt. I think they would be in the playoffs now if the season stopped today. So, yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. I think whoever signs them is going to have severe buyer's remorse, like, especially because the teams that are looking at them actually need a middle linebacker. I don't know.
Might not be the option. But somebody will take the risk. You know, once you have a name and you have accolades, somebody will. You know, teams are desperate.
Apparently, Julio Jones catching screens on 3rd and 19.
Yeah, Joe Flacco suiting up, bro. Like, it's getting ugly. It's getting ugly.
Phillip Rivers may be on a playoff roster before we know it. I tell you.
Oh, that's nasty. That's really
nasty. They were talking about calling up Matt Ryan.
Hey, man, we've seen Alex Smith play on one leg. So, like, the NFL has been in some dark days before. So we'll see. Aaron Rodgers, he's back. He's 21-day window open, or is this just window dressing? And bro, he's waiting for them to lose the next 3 weeks.
There's no way that he's playing. I'm sorry. I can't see a world where he's like, come on now. It took Kevin Durant a year and a half, almost 2 years, to recover from an Achilles injury, bro. This man's back in 7 days. I mean, 70 days, rather. It feels like seven.
Hey, week one just happened. Like, we're not even really at. We just passed the midway point of the season. To put it in perspective, him and J.K. Dobbins snapped their Achilles on the exact same week, and they're rehabbing together. J.K. Dobbins hasn't even jogged yet. I understand you're a quarterback. This isn't like Friday Night Lights, bro. You can't just sit in shotgun, not move, and throw the ball. Like, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah. I'm telling you, once he steps foot on the field, he's going to just combust.
I think it's window dressing, man. I think he's doing this because it's a 21-day window, so he has 3 weeks. So if the Jets lose the next 3 games, clearly out of playoff contention, he's going to be able to say, like, oh, I was ready, but, you know, I'm looking forward to next season. I don't want to risk it, blah, 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 right? Like, I think it's just headlines, like attention grabbing. And I hate that for him.
Yeah. I hate that this is what Aaron Rodgers has become, but – exactly.
How do you do this on your way out? You want to be the villain on your way? He was a hero for like 90% of this man's career.
Yeah. I mean, COVID did a number on people, man. It changed, you know, physically.
Ayahuasca did a number on Aaron Rodgers, apparently.
Yeah, bro. Like, you know, like, it's it ruined a lot of people, bro. A lot of people became villains over the last.
My man went full villain. Goodness gracious.
It's crazy. It should be an interesting week for football, though. The Ravens don't play, so I can just watch football. I look forward
and
to
enjoy
that.
Happy for you.
Thank you, man. It's been a long time.
All right, fellas. Appreciate y'all as usual, as always. Only about a month left of the regular season after this week. Time is really flying. Playoffs are right around the corner. Looking forward to seeing how that plays out with y'all. Good chatting.
Yes, sir. I'll catch y'all next week.
Yes, sir.
All right. It's week 13 of the NFL season, and usually I just do picks with Kyrie and Pope. But this week, I have a special guest. Well, special in parentheses, because he's been on before, usually talking basketball. But he's the only person I know who has a 10-1 team and has issues. Issues that are like just itching him so much that he has to vent to the world about how his team is not good despite them being 10-1. So Derek's on the pod.
Walk this
Eagles,
back.
Eagles fan.
Walk this back.
That's what you said. You said no, the a Eagles, couple weeks ago
the Eagles that are good.
You had issues with the Eagles.
I have issues, but they're good. They're 10-1. They're not perfect.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess. Either way, you had issues that were so deep that you felt the need to let the world know, despite them being 10-1.
Yeah, I've had issues with the team since day one.
That's true. I mean, you've hit me up for a few weeks now, at least maybe almost a month. That's a bit, after every Sunday, ready to say that your problems are there and they've only been validated as you watch more. So I don't even know what the problems are. You didn't even go into detail. So please share with me as you share with the world, or you know, at least the people who listen to this podcast.
I would like to say, number one, that Jalen Hurts is the MVP of the National Football League and should be 2-time MVP, if we're being 100% honest. He should be 2-time MVP if we're being 100% honest. Back to back.
You saying he should have won last year?
Of course.
I'd give it to him last year more than this year.
Oh, what are you going to give it to Dak Prescott?
I mean, damn near. He's in the running.
Oh, throw. My God.
Ugh. I mean, him, Lamar. I mean, it's wide open. There's like,
It's not wide open.
It's very wide open. This is actually the most wide open MVP race has been in the NFL in a long time, in my opinion. Because there's no quarterback. The only quarterback that really has like those elite stats, at least like touchdowns and yards, is like Josh Allen. But the team is 6-6, and he leads the league in interceptions. So
yeah, and guess who beat Josh Allen?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's out. I'm not saying he should win. I'm just saying
the motherfucking like, MVP. Every week, he in and out, he does it.
Oh, Jalen Hurts. So did you come here to talk about him being MVP or your problems?
Well, both. I wanted because first of all, you made it seem like, you know, like I just take their ass or anything. I don't. But I will say my number one problem, starting off first and foremost, is I don't know if you're watching these games, but any Eagles fan who's watching these games can tell the defense, the secondary is just atrocious. Like I don't know what's going on back there. The front seven is not as good as last year. I mean, last year they were like quite literally probably generational. Like I know people throw that term around, but like. It was elite last year. This year, still very good, still elite. Maybe a slight drop off, but I mean, they get it done when the game is on the line. So I can't talk about that. But the secondary, like Josh Job is not it. Ricks is not it. Byard's been cool since the trade deadline. I like
you like Reed. Slay, right? You like Slay.
Yeah, I mean.
You don't like Slay?
I like him, but Slay, like, listen, we can rewind some film, and I'm just like, I don't know about this one, Slay. But I will say it could be scheme, because like last year when that fourth and third and 20 or 40 or whatever it was against Dallas and what's y'all old wide receiver, the Colts wide receiver that the Cowboys signed? Hilton.
Yeah,
T.Y. Hilton. Like when he had that and everybody was blaming Slay, like I think that was quite literally a coverage blown between him and the safety was supposed to have the top. But, you know, Slay, I mean, he's just old, man. And this is hard to be like, it's hard to be an elite corner when you're 32, like, or 33. Like, that's just what it is. Like, it's a hard position to play. Probably the hardest position to play on the field, if we're being quite honest.
It's up there like that in quarterback, yeah.
Quarterback by default, I just don't, you know, football is run, you know, dominated by quarterbacks. So I just, you know, I kind of didn't want to like throw that out there. But yes, quarterback as well. And then Bradbury has been, I mean, he's been cool. Like the starters are cool. It's just everybody they bring in after them. I mean, they need Maddox back badly. It's just a nickel because whenever it's not Bradbury or Slay, it's just, I don't know what we're throwing out there.
Yeah, Maddox out for the year, isn't he?
Oh, I didn't know he was out for the year.
Is he? I could be wrong. I should have made that up.
I mean, when he went out pretty early in the season, I didn't get an update that it was for the year. I've been counting down the days he can come back. And I'm not even saying that he's like the answer or not the answer. He's just a starter that has some like consistency with. So yeah, the secondary, it needs to be fixed. That's why at the trade deadline we were looking at Jalen, whatever his name is, from Chicago, and then Buddy from I don't know why I'm blanking on these people, but from Denver. Patrick
Surtain.
Yeah, Surtain. So that's my number one problem, the defense. And they give up a lot of like just pass plays that I'm just like, that didn't need to happen.
Yeah, Avonte Maddox, season ending. It is season ending.
Oh, okay.
I was correct. He tore his pec.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. Yes.
So he's out. Don't
well, you know, Josh,
he's gonna be back.
Yeah, Josh Job, it's just like, I mean, we're lucky that people can't catch. Quite literally, but that's a thing of football. Like, it sometimes it goes your way, so it doesn't negate the win or anything. But I mean, yeah, like the secondary is bad. And then my thing with the offense is the play calling. Their stats from first half to second half is like mind blowing. Whereas last year, I think we were like the best second quarter, and I think a really good third quarter team. But I think like we used to like dominate people in the second quarter. But I don't know what we're calling. Like last week, we called. I swear we called three screen plays in a row. And outside of the one to Swift, I don't think any of them went anywhere. We called a screen play to Julio Jones. And that's all that I need to know about what we're doing on the offense. It's very weird. Like, the first three games of the season, we obviously signed Swift. I don't think we ran the ball. It wasn't until the Minnesota game where we actually ran the ball with the running back. And, like, I remember watching that game and, like, two drives in, so a minimum of, like, eight plays, we did not run the football. We were calling plays like I called plays in Madden when I was 10 years old. It was just throw the ball down the field. And it was no diversity, nothing. And then we finally ran the ball and like the offense got on track. So like it's almost the reverse of that now. Later in the season, we're just running. We might be handing the ball off more, but we're running these screen plays or these like really weird like pass plays, but they're not further than 5 yards down the field. And it's like, it's not until the second half when we're down by 10 where we're like, oh, yeah, let's throw the ball down the field. And I get the last two games, like, it was raining. And like, there were some things, obviously, that, like, impeded, like, or would have impact on the passing game. But it's just very weird to me. And, like, I just want them to throw the ball 8 yards down the field. Just that's it. Like, just open up the playbook a little bit from the beginning and we wouldn't be behind or anything like that from the start. And then – this is I told this to one of my friends while I was watching the game, and this is the take that I personally have, and he could be hurt. Well, he is hurt. I know he hurt his knee. I think we're running Jalen Hurts, particularly on the first three games of the season where we weren't running the ball, but we were running that QB option. We were running, and I know we ran it a lot last year, but we were running Jalen Hurts like he's prime Michael Vick, and he's more Donovan McNabb. Good scrambler, like elite. But, like, I remember as a kid watching McNabb thinking, like, this guy is great. Like, he was my favorite player growing up. Like, and then I saw Michael Vick, and I was like, oh, this is what a generational, like, running quarterback. Like, McNabb is great. Don't get me wrong. He can beat you with his legs. But, like, Vick, particularly those first two seasons, like, that's all he's beating you with. Like, that was – it was
– right.
It was so, like – and last year, I understand, like, I think it was a little bit of the offense. Like, Jalen obviously took that next step, so I don't think people were really counting for it. And then he can beat you with his legs, but he wants to throw the ball. And I like that about him. He keeps his eyes on the field. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but we ran that option and it worked. We were running it like 5, 6, 7 times a game. And I noticed the very first game of the season, we played Belichick. And say what you want about Belichick, but if you give Bill Belichick 20 games to scout you, because quite literally the Eagles played all the way to the Super Bowl, and then you're the first game of the season – he's not going to let you do the one thing that he did best all last season. And we ran that QB option so many times, and we still run it to this day. And it was one play, I never forget it. Well, I can't say I never forget it, but we ran it against the Patriots, and Judon was like, he didn't fall for it. And Jalen Hurts, and he does this a lot, which is fine. He just fell. Like, he saw him, he just fell. I don't know if he gained a yard. He either gained a yard, got back to the line of scrimmage, or lost a yard. He just fell. And so many times we ran that QB option play and he's just fallen or just gotten 1 yard, or you can tell from this jump, it's not going anywhere. Number one, he doesn't look as fast as he did last year. And it could just be because of his knee injury. And number two, I just think he's more Donovan McNabb than like prime Michael Vick or Lamar Jackson, where it's like, he's going to bust this open no matter what. And I'm not saying he can't do that run play. I'm not saying we should abandon it, but through like the first five games of the season, we were running that play like 7-8 times a game, and it needs to be ran like 3. And I know this is like a wild, it may sound like a wild take to some people, because like quite literally he just won the, he just did it for the game winning touchdown like last week. So I'm not saying like abandon it at all, but like I think we need to like pull back on it and realize like he's good. He's great, but he's not like put the ball in his hands and let him like make 7 people miss in the open field, particularly when like, you know, like I'm not saying the offensive line is not blocking, but like the holes aren't there. And yeah, those are my take on the Eagles. Like all these things could be cleaned up, but I think the play calling, probably the offensive coordinator and both the defensive coordinator. Like I just have beef with both of them. I don't know what we're doing on the back end of the secondary. Maybe we're covering up or something because we can't cover. But, you know, that can kind of be cleaned up. But the play calling on the offense can easily be cleaned up. Like, there's no reason Julio Jones needs to catch a screen pass. If you're throwing screen passes to Julio Jones, you might as well throw them to me. And I'm not saying don't throw the ball to Julio Jones. I'm just saying not on the screen. Like, please. Like, he – like, every route we throw – and we can throw screen passes. But every route we throw should probably be, like, brother, 8 yards down the field. Because you get it, tackle, now a 2nd and 2. You – they literally brotherly shoved from the 2-yard line last game for a touchdown. So, you know, once you get it within 3 yards, it's a first down. Like, so I just don't understand like the play calling sometimes, you know? And then like, again, stop running Jalen Hurts like he's Usain Bolt. I'm not saying abandon it, but like, let him make a play when there's no play, because he can definitely do that. And then yes, let him have some design runs because he can't hurt you with his legs. But he's not 0-4 Vic on Madden. Like, at least not this season. And those are my picks.
I mean, fair. I mean, and I don't think any of these things, I guess the defense is something, but so I guess the question I have for you now is, with all these problems in the air, but the Eagles are 10-1, like, are you expecting or assuming a Super Bowl?
I mean, yes. We're 10-1. I can't really say yeah. I mean, no, but I mean,
you feel more or less confident compared to last year?
Oh, last I'm gonna say less, but only by default of like, number one, last year we were really blowing teams out. Like, it wasn't even close. And then my other reason is teams that lose the Super Bowl, I think the stat is they don't go back the next season. I mean, this is not the NBA. So, you know, usually you don't repeat. Yeah, I don't even know if people really repeat. The team that won goes back. I don't know that stat, but I know there are just generally are not a lot of repeat back-to-back Super Bowls, period. So that would tell you something. Winners. So, I mean, no, I would have to say I'm less confident, but it's not like last year I was so confident. This year, like, I'm not confident, because I do like the fact that we are beating people in close games, and we haven't really played. I mean, I don't know if we played one complete, maybe the Dolphins, maybe the Vikings, but I don't know if we played one complete, like, dominant football game like we did last year. So like, I like the fact that we're battle tested going into the playoff games, and I do think we'll probably get the top seed. I will say, like, I don't think we're gonna go, what's it, 16-1? Right. Like, I think you know.
So how are you feeling about the 49ers game this week? I mean, 49ers are healthy. I say personally, when the 49ers have everyone healthy, they're the best team. It's just that they just have a lot of injury prone players.
Yeah, people say that. I just think Hurts is better than Purdy, and that's what I think it comes down to. I mean, as long as we don't get killed by a whatever his name is, Ayuk.
I mean, they got Ayuk, they got McCaffrey, Debo.
Yeah.
Kittle.
I see, it's the big play. I know McCaffrey, you know, probably has rights to claims to be the best running back in the league, at least over like the last couple of seasons, if not just this season. I don't know the running back stats.
Since he went to the 49ers, which is now 2 because it was the back almost like a year and a half, because he was like last trade, like he's been the best running back, like not even close.
Yeah, I
mean, he literally had a streak of 16 straight games with a touchdown.
Hey man, I just didn't want nobody to say like, you're not watching other teams, this is my running back.
Since he's been on the 49ers, he's been the best running back.
I know they have that. I typically really wouldn't be worried about the run game too much, but sometimes the Eagles run defense begin eating alive. Sometimes there's been some games where I'm like, damn, we can't stop running water. I don't know. I just think Purdy's better. As long as you don't give up big pass plays, and I know our offense will come through if they call the fucking the right plays at the right time. But I do at home. I do feel confident. I'm not really, honestly, really worried about this week too much. I know a lot of people are going to make a lot of big things about it because it's the Eagles, it's the 49ers, two best teams in the league. And then, like, the Cowboys, air quotes, are chasing us. But they'll self-destruct, so I'm not really worried about them. Because this game, I want it because I want home field advantage in the playoffs. But I know this game is really going to be probably decided in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
We'll probably ideally see them again, you know, not trying to be cocky or count, you know, my eggs where they hatch. But, like, it's kind of, you know.
I mean, it's y'all. I mean, I don't believe in the Detroit at all. I wouldn't even consider them a real contender. And then the Cowboys, who they're better than Detroit, but I wouldn't necessarily.
Yeah, I'm not really. And I will say this too. Like, I don't know if I want to say this on the podcast, but it's a division game. Like, they could split it. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where it's like people are going to make this big thing about it, and it's like division. Like, the Commanders always play us tough. You know what I'm saying? Like, so
right.
Divisional football is just a little bit different. Like, you kind of got to throw records and games out the window. Or like, oh, we beat y'all, we're better than y'all. And it's, you know, quite literally, like, maybe that is true. But also, it's like, if you play somebody two times a year and you're getting up for that, you know, and also, like, our back-to-back schedules of who we've played up until them, Chiefs, Bills, Niners, and then them, you know what I'm saying, could be like a – I'm not trying to make excuses or anything, because we still should beat them. I still expect us to beat the Cowboys. But, yeah, it's a tough game. I think home field advantage will do us good for this game. And then we just got to make some plays. And I think 2 weeks of just being down by 10, I expect the playbook to be opened up a lot, like, from the start. Because you can't mess around with the Niners defense either.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But are you – so, like, now that I've vented my concerns,
right?
Do you agree with what I'm saying about the Eagles?
I mean, I don't think anything you said is necessarily wrong. I mean, I think the defense is definitely worse. I think the play calling, like, you guys missed Shane Steichen a little bit. Shout out to the Colts. You know, I don't think that other guy's bad, the new guy, you know, but he's, I think Shane Steichen's better, was better.
Yeah, and you learn, but it's like.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's a guy's first year calling plays, so.
But it doesn't take me as not a play caller. It don't take a whole half, two whole halves or two games to realize, like, oh, shit. Maybe I should throw the ball down the field, like or three games of just like we signed Swift the first couple games, and I was just like, why did we sign this guy? Like, what is he? Is he not practice? Is he not good? And is he a character guy? And then they handed him the ball, and I'm like, oh, this guy's great. Like, but we went through two games of not utilizing him, and you know,
well, I mean, I feel like that happens in the NFL too. Like, they want to, they try to make it a committee and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and it was the first, like, three games of the season, so you could argue, learn the playbook, blah, blah, blah. Gainwell's been there. Also, Gainwell gets a lot of flack. I think Gainwell's cool. You know, I like him as, like, a little combo back, but, like, Swift should always have – that's another thing. They be handing the ball to Gainwell or, like, the one or the three-yard line or whatever. Anytime they get the ball down there and they don't do the QB, the brotherly shove, sometimes they'll be handing the ball to Gainwell, and he be getting in sometimes. I'm not going to knock him. But I just be like, bro.
Swift, I like Gainwell.
Swift is right there. Like, I'm sorry, he's just bigger, stronger, and faster. Like, please, like, even Penny, I'm like, it just kind of makes more sense. Like,
yeah, I can see. Yeah, I'm surprised Penny just doesn't even. He might as well not even be on the team.
I mean, maybe they're saving him. I don't know, but
no, you know, they're giving the ball to Swift. All his carries went to Swift.
Yeah, I mean, it's proven effective. Like, I have no problem with it. I mean, you know. I would be very upset, though, if I was 2 years of this, of getting down to the one-yard line and just never getting the ball as a running back, though.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah.
I'd be like, all right. Yeah. All right, we're going to stop running this brotherly shove, just as a joke. But, like, yeah. They ran that play from the two-yard line last week. Nobody caught that, but I did. I was like, bro, they're 2 yards away from the end zone. They're running this play. Like,
I mean, especially if it's not fourth down, so I could do it twice. It seems like I'll stop you both times, two times in a row.
Facts. But yeah, those are my complaints about the Eagles. I mean, obviously, I feel like every team has complaints, so it's not like unless you're undefeated. And even
yeah, I mean, yeah, this is reason. This NFL season compared to most has been a lot of parity. You know what I mean? I think every team has a real weakness.
But I think our biggest weakness is our secondary. Like the play calling, like the offense is the problem because of play calling. I don't think it's talent. There are some very, costly turnovers that we've had. Like Jalen does have more interceptions this year, a few more batted down balls. There have been some random fumbles. But, I mean, that's also part of the game. But it's not like I don't trust, like, A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith or anything like that. But the secondary, like, I don't trust those guys. nobody wants to talk about this, but first game of the season, they made Mac Jones, like, he was driving that last drive.
Right.
Like, people don't remember that game, but he was driving. I was like.
I mean, yeah, first game of the year, you know. That's a long time ago.
And he was throwing it to, what's his name? Juju. And I was like, not this guy. So, like, Sam Howell always looks like a perennial Pro Bowler when he plays against us. So, like, you know, like, the secondary is a little shaky to me. Not a little. It's shaky.
I mean, you know, again, every team, you know, the Chiefs don't got receivers. You know, the Cowboys, I don't know, they're just the Cowboys. Every team, the 49ers, health, you know, every team's got their thing. So I think it'll make the NFL season better. But to your point, it definitely, yeah, like what you're saying isn't wrong, you know. But no one's saying that the Eagles are perfect. I don't know they're not. I don't know if Jalen Hurts is MVP. He's definitely, you know, top three. I think he's the leader according to, like, FanDuel, you know, odds-wise, I believe. But we got a month to go. Like, you know, if Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or somebody gets hot, they win four in a row and they have a really good last month, like, they could easily get it. So, but if the season ended right now, I think Hurts probably would get it.
Man, if he beats Purdy, when we lock up that number one seed.
If he beats Purdy and then beats Dak a second time the next week, it'd be hard to go against that resume.
Dak went into San Francisco and put up 10 points. Let's just remember that.
Well, yeah, that's a bad matchup for them. They get cooked by San Francisco for sure. Like you said, it's all matchups. They play y'all really well regardless. They don't play San Francisco well at all.
Yeah, we'll see. But I think I like us this week. I think San Francisco, I mean, I think it's going to come down to us too. And like you said, health and anything could happen. You know, it's the NFL. It's not the NBA. So you don't have to win 7 games. So you get into a game and, you know, we start calling dumbass plays, get down by 10, and then we can't stop nobody in the second half. There goes the season, you know what I'm saying, in the playoffs.
Right, so. Right.
But those are my complaints about the Eagles. Yeah, my biggest one is just the defense and the front seven. You know, they're going to have to really start being generational.
Yeah, fair. Well, switching over to another team that you root for, I'm curious to know if you have any complaints about your Lakers.
Yeah, make the trade. I don't know necessarily what that trade is, but please make it.
Yeah, well, yeah. What do you mean make the trade? You don't know who it's for. You got to have an idea who you want to trade for.
I guess at this point, it's Zach LaVine, Caruso, somebody. It's not working. I will say I do want to see them fully healthy, though. I do think people are going to laugh, but I do think Vando makes a big difference.
Does he?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's good on defense, but he's like, I don't know. I feel like he kind of messes up the spacing a little bit, no?
Well, they can't guard anybody, so.
I suppose so, yeah, because LeBron is, he's not guarding anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Thunder are good, but I literally just watched them just get ran off the floor by the Thunder. Like,
oh, I saw it.
Yeah, they can't guard anybody, so, I mean, yes. But they do need, I mean, ideally you would sign Gabe. Gabe would come back healthy and he would be able to hit the side of a barn. But yeah, something needs to shake. So they need to go ahead and push that button because you talk about parity. This is one of the parity in the NBA this season is just as equal as you were saying, the NFL. You can't fall too far behind.
Right. I mean, Denver's still a team to beat for sure, too.
Oh, yeah, no questions asked. Although they're, Jamal Murray is out. They dropped like four in a row, and then they beat Houston. They beat somebody earlier this week. But I mean, you don't want to fall into that play-in bracket. You probably want home court. You definitely want home court. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, the Clippers are doing their part by sucking. So like, you can lose games, and you know, they're still falling off a cliff. So I mean, we're not out of it, but you don't want to fall too far behind. I will say, with the in-season tournament, I think we're undefeated. So we're going into the knockout round. So I'm guessing, you know what I'm saying, we want to win that. And that'll count to our overall record and everything. So that'll be a positive spin. But yeah, like we need, something needs to shake. Who do you think the biggest problem is? I say it's defense and 3-point shooting. Consistent shooting.
Yeah, you guys definitely don't have many shooters. You know, LeBron's still going to make the offense run decent. I mean, you guys have gotten actually a great D'Lo year, I will say. And Anthony Davis has been pretty good. There's a couple of games, you know, he's going to do his ghost thing. But, I mean, even OKC last night, y'all, like, he did really well. All right.
No, he was okay.
He wasn't the problem. But
the thing is, he's not going to take over or dominate games like people want or think he can or should.
Oh, yeah, no. He's no – like, we got to officially retire the – let's swap AD for Embiid. Who says no? No, the Sixers clearly say no. Like, let's not act like they're equal. They're not.
Yeah, no.
They're not. The Lakers are saying yes way before. Even if they both said yes, the Sixers would have to think about it way longer than the Lakers would.
Yeah, easily.
So...
And you really can't even bring an injury because they both.
Yeah, sit. I mean, yeah, they're both. So, yeah, they both sit their games, and yeah, and then I think Embiid takes over games how
you would want Anthony Davis to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would take Anthony Davis on defense for sure, but not as big of a gap as I would take Embiid on offense, especially with a guy like LeBron.
Yeah, so I mean, I bring that up. So yeah, shooting. And they just need defense. Like, they're not bad on defense, but it's just there's too many games I watch where we just have like lapses for long periods of time, and it's
I still can't tell if Darvin Ham's a good coach or not.
Yeah, the jury's still out on that one.
I can't tell.
And probably an on-ball defender too. So, like, you know, and it's been a long time since the late. Well, I guess Caruso was just there. I was gonna say a long time, but I guess, you know, Caruso and air quotes Pat Bev. But you know,
I mean if you guys, I think the most realistic trade that would make sense is if you guys could somehow snag DeRozan and Caruso. I don't know how exactly that works money wise. I mean, I know you'd be giving up D'Lo and probably Rui. Contract wise, and then probably would have that actually. That would be close. I think you would probably have to give up another role player or something. Probably like Cristiano or something. I don't think y'all would give up Christie, and then like that 2029 pick.
So,
maybe.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'd give up Christie as of right now.
I just see on Twitter a lot of Laker fans are talking about Christie being the next gem.
Yeah, I like to hold on to our young guys to get, because I don't think the Lakers really develop. I don't think that's our game. And you know, he had a good summer league, but it hasn't transitioned over. He's had limited minutes, so it's hard to, I guess, get a role and all that. But yeah.
Yeah, the thing with the Vando, it's like, you know, you're talking about the defense, but I mean, you want to talk about who can't shoot. Like, I don't know if you can rely on him to be, you know, that guy to play 30 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, I do think if you have him, it makes no sense.
He was very good last year.
For sure, but he only played 15, 20 minutes. He only can have him out there at certain lineups, is my
point. Yeah, of course.
And so if you're talking about trading for Caruso, then it doesn't make any sense to have him on the court
together.
Makes no sense to have him, AD, Caruso, LeBron, and then I don't know, whoever, Gabe Vincent or whoever, Alston Reeves. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I could see that.
So I think DeRozan, I think I saw a report that said he actually wanted to go to the Knicks, but I'm sure If the Lakers seriously wanted DeRozan, he'd go to the Lakers.
Yeah, he'd rather go.
So I don't know. I think DeRozan actually makes sense. I mean, I don't know if he fixes a defense problem, but I think he would help, and I think you could get him at a pretty low cost.
Yeah, I like when Vando. I like when he crashes from the side. I wish they would like, and I just, this is something in basketball. I just wish. I know people like were like spacing. I know this is the era we're in, but I just really wish like coaches would like let people like slash more. I'm like,
yeah,
like speaking just move. Of that, like literally, guys, like he doesn't have to stand in the corner. He could just move across the court, and like LeBron will find him, and that will help with like spacing as far as having him on the court. But like people just want to stick him in the corner, and this is not just him. This is anybody that can't shoot. And like, oh, we can't play him. He's just going to stand in the corner. It's like, well, if he moves. If
right,
he's getting a layup, then points are points. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't – that can work in small, you know, batches. They can buy you two more minutes, four more minutes of him on the floor. Also, it helps with rebounding, but, you know, who am I?
Yeah. I think another thing that's underrated that you haven't mentioned that you guys need is a legitimate center to come in and play center for Anthony Davis. Because Jackson Hayes is fucking awful. And – you need to, and I mean, I get like Christian Wood, like he's cool. He can come in and play next to AD, but he's not a center. AD still has to play center. I would need a one. I'd rather have a guy who come in and actually play center, you know, and actually, you know, because when AD sits, you guys have zero rim protection. I mean, Jackson, I can't believe people were trying to talk themselves into Jackson Hayes. He is awful. He's athletic, but he is awful.
He's very much. From what I've seen of him, he's very much highlight. Well, I've seen a lot of him because I watched a lot of games. It's very much, and I'm not saying comparing him directly to this player, but it's very much Amari Stoudemire in times where people will be like, damn, look at that block. Amari Stoudemire is good on defense. And it's like, he's getting cooked. But like, yes, the block was amazing. I'm not going to lie to you, but like, that's it. Like, what about the five other plays where he got scored on? Like, or he was just out of position? Like,
right.
And that's sometimes what I see with Jackson Hayes. Because if you actually watch him, like, they'll be stretching. I'm like, wow, that was, you know, a good help. We're like, yeah, good. And then there are other times where I'm like, are you even on the court? Like, where these people are running down the lane. Like,
when I saw him take a spot up three pointer, that's when I knew he was lost.
I mean, on offense,
because he can't play, but he has to be there because he can't play next to AD.
I just don't. Some when they go to that second unit, there are nights where I'm just like, they're so. Sometimes, right? It works because they're like, you know, hustle and energy and it's basketball. So if you're moving around, you're being active, good things typically happen. But there's some nights where I'm just like, I just don't understand what are we doing here. And again, if LeBron's off the court and AD is on the court, it's like, all right, this needs to be AD time to take over, and he just doesn't. And it's a lot of Austin Reeves, and I don't dislike
it's a lot of Austin Reeves,
but it's a lot. Like even when he's on, when both of them, it's a lot. It's almost like I get it. Like he's a good story. He's cool. He's actually it's like the Caruso thing. Like he's actually a good player, but like this notion that he's going to be a 20 point per game guy and like what. No, man. Like, no. Like,
yeah. Like, he's not an all star. Yeah. And like, I can't believe we're talking about a big three, Austin. Like, no, he's not. He's not good enough to be the third of a big three.
And if it happened, I would love to be proven wrong. Like, I would eat my words so much. But let's be realistic. Like, in no world did anybody wake up. That's not on anybody's bingo card. He could be a very good role player. He is a very good role player, but like, they're like, yeah, Austin Reeves is struggling. I'm like, no shit. He's not, like, y'all trying to make him into fucking Chris Bosh or something. Like, not literally Chris Bosh, but like the third amigo. And it's come on now. Like, but he has his moments where he can do things. I'm not, you know, I'm not saying take the ball out of his hands or like don't empower him. I want him to have confidence and I want him to be able to shoot into stuff and shoot out of stuff. I don't want him to miss two shots and be like, look over at the bench and like, I can't play no more. But yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Kind of coming up on time. I don't know. I have nothing else to say about the Lakers, but we do need to make a move pretty soon. I think we have to make something decently before the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, I think the early trade, no one can be traded, I think, till December 15th is when all the contracts that, like, for example, like a Gabe Vincent, if you wanted to trade him, you had to wait till December 15th.
Because that would be nasty.
Well, for sure, but I'm just that's when he's eligible.
Yeah, I understand. So, like, that's just so funny.
Yeah, I love how Gabe Vincent has just become the y'all's – not even a scapegoat. He's just become Kendrick Nunn all over again.
Kill another – yeah.
He's just another Miami Heat guy. Y'all just y'all signed around about 8-0, and now he's just sitting there.
Yeah.
And was awful in the few games he did play. Appreciate you coming on, my guy. We should talk some more football, basketball stuff. In the soon to be time as playoffs come, the NBA season gets to be important. Don't know when that next time will be, but it'll be soon.
Always appreciate it.
Yes, sir.